Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know what? I think man has messed things up enough. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. I probably shouldn't say that, but you know, hey, because we're all men and women in here, man, you know? I mean, but I think we've messed things up long enough. I think it's about time to see God do what He wants to do. What do you think? Man, I want to see His kingdom here, man. I'm serious. I want to see the hospitals cleared out. I want to see people just having a peace and a joy. Hallelujah. No more shootings in the streets or in nightclubs and schools and none of that mumbo. I mean, I don't know what to call it, but garbage. Amen. Hallelujah. Because somebody doesn't realize that God loves them, cares about them. Even those shooters out there, you know, God loves those guys. Died on a cross for them. Some of you might say, well, hey, well, he gets all he, well, you know, guess what? He's going to get what he deserves. And I'm going to tell you something, too. You're going to get what you deserve. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. There we go. What? Yeah, that's right, man. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we've gotten what we don't deserve. God has given us grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, and mercy upon mercy. Isn't it time we begin to do that with people? Don't you think it's time that we begin to have some grace upon people? Have some mercy towards folks. Don't you think? Don't you think? We're coming into a giving season. How many know that? Yeah, we're coming into a giving season, you know. And it's great to give, and I love to give and everything. And what I love about it, when you're giving, you're acting like God, because God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But what about His mercy and His grace and His love? Hallelujah. Pastor John and I were talking this morning about how sometimes, you know, people just, how many ever had people just get on you? Nobody here? Has anybody in the house never had anybody get on you? Never had somebody just give you a hard time? Donnell, you, that's never happened to you. And she goes, yeah. Folks, the key to this is the gospel of Christ. It really is. There's nothing else like it. Nothing else speaks to men like the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most powerful thing in the world. And when we walk with the Holy Ghost, when we walk with Him, as like walking in the cool of the day, can I tell you something? I was telling the Lord the other day, because He said something to me, and I said, you know what? God is just cool walking with you. And then I remembered that Adam walked in the cool of the day. I said, maybe that's what he meant. It's cool walking with you, God. It's cool listening to you. It's really, how many like being cool? How many know God is cool? Hallelujah. When He says something to you, you get all fired up. You say, yeah, that's exactly what I needed. Folks, it's time. It's time we begin to, hey, pour out some mercy upon folks. Is that right? Pour out some love. About time we'd be, I mean, just begin to just, hey, man, it's okay. I love you. It's all right. I had another message for the beginning of this week, man. And, man, first few days of this week is getting real powerful. Then all of a sudden, started weaning out. Now, you guys know? Apparently, God has something else for me to talk to you about this morning. So, and I'm excited about it. The message today is called reconciliation or retaliation. Retaliation or restoration, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the name. That's the one I put down at 4 o'clock this morning. Yeah, thank you, Heather, wherever you're at. Glory to God. Hey, retaliation or restoration? A lot of us, folks, we're just so used to retaliating. Is that right? Come on, man. Come on, don't put on your glory to God face right now. Come on, man. You know as well as I do. When somebody does wrong, you mean you're ready to jump right back. Yeah, man. I'm not gonna work with them. Yeah, wait. That's it. I'm not gonna talk to them again. We're retaliating. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is, yeah, I'm going home. That's it, man. I said, I'm going to take my basketball and go home. I am not put up with you guys anymore. Retaliate. Folks, you know, the problem is God looks at it and he sees it and he says, man, he says, Pastor John, Pastor Pat and I, we've been talking about, God, what do we need to do to position ourselves to flow, that healing would flow like a river, peace would flow like a river? What do we got to do, God? Show us what we got to do. Because I know he heals. I know that he makes lives good. I know that he brings where a family is falling apart, that God brings them back together and restores that. I know it. Because that's what we're going to read about today. I just know he does those things. God, but what do we got to do? Okay, we got a building. Okay, we got some folks in here. But what do we got to do, Lord? Show us what we have to do. And whatever we do, it has to come from him. How many know that? Because like I said just a few minutes ago, we mess things up a little bit, don't we? When we try to do it on our own, we mess it up. But when we follow what God is doing, I'll tell you what, we're going to find that that is the passageway that we need, that we've been looking for. And I believe for sure that health will flow like a river. Healing will flow like a river. Right now, listen, right now there's almost the whole family is out because of Marcus, the four-year-old boy. He's got cancer. And folks, I believe that we can still stand. I believe we can still stand and say, hey, against everything that the doctors are saying. And, you know, I thank God for doctors. I thank God because I don't know how to fix. If my transmission's out, I took my car to the transmission shop and let my nephew work with it. Because I don't know how to do it. And see, and there's things, I don't know how to heal. But I know he does. And I know that he hears the prayer of the saints. How many of you know that? Is that what the Word of God says? The Word of God says, call upon me in time of trouble and I will answer you. Right now, little Marcus doesn't know how to call upon God. 4 years old. So what do you say this morning? We'll just take a couple of minutes and let's agree as a body of believers in a miracle that God can do. Would you stand with me just for a second? And the Word of God tells us to lay hands on the sick. So what I'd ask you to do is just point your hands. I mean, what area he's at, I'm not sure. Maybe in Rancho here somewhere. Just put your hands here a little bit to the north. And let's pray for this young man, Father. You've told us, Father. You've told us to call upon you in times of trouble. And Father, you've told us that you have given us authority. Father, you told us that if any two of us would agree concerning anything, God, that you would do it, Father. That's what you said, Father. So, Lord, this morning, we're bringing Marcus before you, Father. And we are taking authority over cancer and calling it what it is. It is a wolf, and it cannot eat any longer. In the name of Jesus, we bind cancer in Jesus' name. There is no other name above the name of Jesus. No other name above the name of Jesus. Tell you to leave him alone, never come back. You've got no entry place, you've got no place to stand. And in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, shout to the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you Lord, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You can be seated, glory to God. It's time, folks. It is time. Hallelujah. Get this thing hauled out here, man, so I can get this John's Pastor John's. Hallelujah. If you need another one, I'll get you. Ah, come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I felt that. How many felt that? How many felt that? Ooh. And right now, I believe Mark is feeling it. I believe God, have your way, have your way, have your way. And he told us to ask. Isn't that right? Did he not tell us to ask? Come on. Hallelujah. So if he told me to ask, buddy, I'm going to ask. Hallelujah. How many know we serve a spiritual God? How many of you know we don't wrestle with flesh and blood? Hallelujah. But principalities and powers. And glory to God. Well, I'm going to finish up. I'm once again in Jacob's tent. You guys, oh, no, not another story about Jacob. Yeah, we're going to go to Jacob again. Hallelujah. As you remember last week, we talked a little bit how he was a little bit upset. I mean, he was a little scared because he found out that his brother was not only coming, but he was bringing 400 men with him. And so he was a little bit, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So started trying to do things and on his own, by his own hand, prepared some gifts to give his brother when he got there, and realized late at night that probably wasn't good enough, but said, you know what, I got to find God. I've got to find God in this. How many of you know a lot of times the place to get it taken care of is right where you're at, on your knees, in your closet, wherever you're at, in your car, saying, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. God, I'm asking you for help. And God is so good because he does help. The Bible says that Jacob wrestled the man, and that man was the Lord. Wrestled him and wrestled him, and then the Lord said, hey, the sun was getting, daylight was coming, he said, hey, let go of me. And he said, no, I won't let go of me. I love you until you bless me. And the Bible says that he took that the angel, the Lord pulled his hip out of socket, or his leg out of the hip socket. Isn't that crazy? Pulled it out and says, let go of me. And he said, no, I will not let go of you. How many know it, when you go after God, get a hold of him. Is that right? Do you know that God hides? Seems like he hides. How many of you ever say that? See, God seems like you're hiding sometimes. Anybody? Maybe just me. Okay, that's okay. I tell the Lord, you know what? Sometimes, Lord, it seems like you're hiding. I think the words of God says like that. He says, I'm not hiding from you. I dwell in a very special place. You know that? You know that God dwells in a special place? It's called the secret place. He calls it the secret place of the Most High. There's a place where God dwells. Hallelujah. And there's only one way to get there. Who knows that way to get in there? How? Ask Jesus. How?
Invite him in.
Yeah. He says, you'll find it when you seek me with all of your heart. All of your heart. That's how you're going to get into that secret place. You seek God with all of your heart. And that's where he begins to reveal things to you, begins to say things to you, and it's really a nice place. You say, I like this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's what Jacob found that night while he was, that was a secret place. Although there was dust flying all over the place, he's wrestling him with all that he can to hold on to him. So God, you got to bless me. You got to bless me. My brother's coming. You didn't hear him say that, but that's why he's wrestling, because my brother's coming. If I remember right, how many of you know when somebody hates you? Is that right? Can you tell when somebody hates you? Yeah. Yeah. Let's put up this scripture. Genesis 27, verses 41 through 42. It's something. God, when somebody hates you, you know it. And I'm thinking that Jacob probably was remembering this. And this is something that happened right before he left. And it says Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said within his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then, what did he say? I'm going to slay my brother. I'm going to kill my brother. Can I tell you that the things in Isaac's house weren't going so well? Can you say that? You had one brother wanting to kill the other brother. the older brother wanting to kill the younger brother cheating the older brother out of everything spiritual that was coming towards him. So things weren't really honky-dory in the house of Isaac. Is that right? It says, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, your brother Esau is touching thee, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you. These are probably the last words that his mom had said to him. Now, you need to get up and you need to go to Laban and go over there and just hang out there. So that's what Jacob did, because he ran for his life. He feared, because his brother, how many of you know what Esau did? Esau was a hunter. He hunted. Is that cool? Being a hunter, it could have been a very nice arrow shot towards his brother. But the Bible says that Esau said, I'm going to wait for my dad to die. And when my dad dies, I'm going to kill him. I will kill him. So Jacob probably remembers that. And so now he had wrestled the angel, and he says, you've got to bless me. That the Lord had already given him blessings, already spoken things. But you know, sometimes when you're right down to the wire, it said, God, I know you said this to me before, but I just want to hear it one more time. How many of you know that? How many know that you want God to say something to you just one more time? How would you like that? Right now, God says, one more time. I'm telling you, this is one more time. God is saying something. My blessings are on you. Do you know that, people? Do you know that God has placed his blessing upon you? Hallelujah. And his blessing was going to help you and take you through anything you go through. Is that okay? He's with you. That's what Christmas is about. God with us. Is that right? God with us. Hallelujah. So let's go to Genesis 33. It's been a long night for Jacob. He's been wrestling, and the sun's coming up. I started verse 1. It says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah, Rachel, and the two handmaids. Jacob now at this time is carrying once again the blessing of the Lord. His name has been changed. His name is now what? Israel. The angel said, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is now Israel. You're a father of nations. Cool. He says, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. I got kind of a kick out of this, man, but because Jacob is scared. How many know that? He's afraid because he thinks, and he hasn't seen his brother for almost 20 years now. 20 years. Hadn't seen his brother, hadn't spoken to him. And now they're meeting, and he's scared. And yet he had a blessing placed upon him. And what he did was he took a few steps. He saw Esau coming. He took a few steps and bowed down, got down on the ground and bowed down. Got up, walked over some more, bowed down, got up. You want to show us how? No, I'm just kidding. He did that seven times. By this time, Esau's probably going, what's going on with my brother? Can I tell you that I believe that God changed Esau's heart? How many know that? Because we're going to read that. Let's just check this out. Just he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And an unexpected encounter. How many know that? I think it could have been like, dude, where are you going? What are you going to do? You know, it could have been a lot different. Is that right? But Esau ran to him, embraced him, and kissed his neck. How many of you know that God is in the business of restoring people? That's what he does. He restores folks. And I'll tell you, he's good at it. Is that right? How many of you have ever been restored with somebody? Come on, let's see. How many restoration has taken place in your life? Man, I'll tell you. How many can think of somebody you need to restore? Get restored to. Yeah, nobody wants to raise their hand, but I know. Yeah, you ain't as good as you think you are. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God has graciously given." 20 years. Never seen his nieces, nephews, never seen them. And said, "Who are these people?" "Hey, these are my kids, man. These are my wives." Isn't that cool? You know how you get restored to somebody? You kind of start, hey, talking, you're showing things, you're talking about things. And that's what's going on here. Then the handmaidens came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast to yourself." I love what Esau says to his brother. "You know what? I've got plenty, man. Keep it. I don't really need it, man." The day that Esau stole, that Esau's blessing was stolen by Jacob, that day, as soon as Esau realized that his brother had done that to him, he begged his dad, "You got to bless me, Dad. Please, Dad, don't you have one blessing for me? Please, Dad." And his dad told him, "I've got a blessing for you. You're going to serve your younger brother." Isn't that nice? "Oh, thanks a lot, Dad. That's not good. You're going to serve your younger brother." But Dad. But his dad told him something. "You know what? I need you to look at this, because I really feel it's an important scripture, and I didn't put it down, guys. Get ready. Are you ready?" Glory to God. Going to be Genesis chapter 27, verse 40. I'll let you get that. I want you to see this. Verse 40 says, "And by your sword," Isaac is blessing his son Esau here, because he begged for it. He said, "God, don't you have one blessing for me?" And Isaac says this: "By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother." Nice. Thank you. "And then it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion." Do you see that? "That you shall break his yoke from off of your neck." Can I just say this to you? This is a very important thing for relationships. When somebody hurts you, they place a yoke upon you. And you've got a decision. You can let it go, or you can let that yoke stay there. How do you know that? You know, you hear what I'm saying to you. When somebody hurts you, they might inadvertently even put a yoke on you. Sometimes we get hurt just because somebody says something, and we think, oh, you know, we have this way of building things out of proportion. How many of you guys do that? Anybody do that in the house? No. Okay, good. Nobody does that. Praise God. I saw a bunch of hands starting to come up. Glory to God. Hey, nobody does that. But we have this gift. It's not a gift. We've got a gift of building things out of proportion. Blowing it up in our own minds. Is that right? And there comes a time where you got to take dominion over that. You got to say, "You know what? It's okay. It's all right." Hallelujah. Can I tell you, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to learn how to do that. I'm going to give that to you right out. You need to learn. That's a word. Write it down. Get it down, man. Because you need to learn how to let it roll off. Because you're created for better things. You know, I've been singing a song, and I am, okay, I'm going to sing it to you. Oh, boy, thanks a lot. It says this: "He has made me," you know. Can't ask for the musicians on this one. Hallelujah. He won't let me forget that He's made me to sit in high places. Because I'm made with mercy and I'm formed by grace. Do you hear that? He won't let me forget that He's made me to sit in high places. See, you're more than what you need to, those things that come against you, and somebody tells you something and you don't like it, and you let them throw a yoke on your shoulders, or they didn't mean it, they're just saying something, you took it wrong, and you put the yoke on yourself, and you begin to carry that thing around, and you're mad, and you're upset, and come on. God says, no, you're made better than that. I have created you to sit in high places with me, that you might hear me. I got a brother tells me, he says, man, I like the Word of God says that we're sitting in the right hand of the, we're sitting with the Father. I like crawling up on there and say, Lord, just whisper something to me. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. You've been created to sit in high places, and you let things build up in your heart and in your life. Stop. Amen. Come on, man. God says it's a relationship. And I'll restore relationships if you'll let me. Do you know that we hinder God in letting Him restore the relationships He's trying to restore? Do you know that? Because you're carrying around this dumb thing. Everybody say dumb thing. It's a dumb thing. It really is. It really counts for nothing. Eternally, it will count for absolutely zero. Why are you holding it? Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today because I can feel this thing. God is saying, come on, release that person. Oh, glory to God. They're just folks. How many know that? It's just people. How many know people get ugly? Can people get ugly? Do you get ugly? I'm not going to look at anybody. I wonder if in heaven God doesn't have a big yellow sign on the front gate. Yellow sign. And then in front of his desk, it says, we buy ugly houses. Come on, man. Have you ever seen that sign? We buy ugly houses. Hallelujah. You remember before you got saved, you were ugly. Come on, man. I was ugly before. I was a drunk. Hallelujah. God's got to say, we buy ugly houses. 1-800, the blood buys it all. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got to remember that. Don't you think? Don't you think it's time that we pour out some grace? Come on a world that steals your parking place, get your golf cart. Give them some grace. Hallelujah. Give them $20. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks, come on. Really? Is it really that important for us to show that we're right? I'm the smart one here. I'm the one with all the brains. No, it's not. You let them hurt you, you let it build up. God buys ugly houses, folks. And he uses us to get those ugly houses. Yeah. Is that right? We are His witnesses, is what the Word of God says. We are His witnesses. God's in the business of restoration. Is that right? I'm going to go to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. I've got to start finishing this up because we've got to get some water. We've got to get some folks in the water. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Sometimes you're going to sense the Word of God coming to you in a way that you're going to say, man, I got to do something about this. This is a good place right here. This is a good place. All those things that you've been thinking about, folks, and worried, and you know, maybe they're not even in the state. Maybe they're not even in this country. But God is saying, you got to get it out. It's a good place right here. Start new. Start clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. This is Jesus, and He came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to Him, and He besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, praise God, and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see ministries walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was, what does that word say? Restored. And saw every man clearly. Can I tell you, Jesus is in the business of restoring ugly houses. Is that right? He really is. He's a restorer. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's look at this one. It says this. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. This is the Pharisees watching Jesus to see if he's going to break the law, wanting him to break the law. They want to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Stand up here. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on Sabbath days or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? Is it lawful to do those things on the Sabbath day? But they held their peace. Did you hear that? They held their peace. They didn't say nothing. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, that got him mad. You know, do you see what it says right there? He got mad because of what they did. They wouldn't say anything. They just said, is it right to do evil or good on the Sabbath day? They just looked at him. They wouldn't say anything. He said, and it got him evil, okay? He looked about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was what? Restored, whole as the other. These guys, who do you think you are, man? This guy is doing a miracle right in front of you. You won't even answer him. You won't say, you won't give him even an answer. Can I say, folks, sometimes we do that same thing to the Lord. You know, oh, man, don't get mad at me, because sometimes we do. Sometimes we won't speak to him like he's asking, what do you think about that? He might be saying, what do you think about your unforgiveness toward this person? What do you think about it? Can I tell you, it might be that the Lord might be saying, come on, come on. Come on, hallelujah. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know that he's a crafty fella? Do you know that? And sometimes, he gets us in positions where we won't go after what God's after us, because we think we're in the right. Where God says, no, man. Oh, man. What's wrong? These guys are blind. Is that right? Blind. Can't see. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 through 23. I want you to think about this scripture right here. Hear you, deaf. I like that. Anybody deaf in here? Hear you, deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. And then he says this, who is blind but my servant? Who, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? You see that? Why would God say that you're blind and you're deaf? Why would he even say that? Can I say something to you? Because we listen and we look at things. We should be seeing and hearing things in a different way. Can I tell you something? I have learned that when I see things going on, when I see somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing, they should know better. I have learned. I'm just going to walk on. Lord, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for that. No. I have learned. And God says, hey, you don't walk by faith. I mean, you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. You've got to walk by faith. So even things that I hear, listen, we're still talking about restoring relationships. Even things you hear, listen. You can be as a deaf person. It's okay. It's all right. They said they don't like me. They said they don't like my truck. They say they don't like Fords. And when I tell you I don't like Fords, it's just because I don't like Fords. No, I'm just kidding. It's just something I've done all my life, and I probably should change, but I like Fords. And just because I said, now somebody said, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to another church. You don't like Fords. But listen, listen. We hear things, and we take it so inside. We let it come in, we let it sit in there, and we let it, and then we rehearse it, and we rehearse it. And then we rehearse it. And then we add a few words to it. And then we put, you know. And then we add a few actions when they're not look, they don't look at us or they don't smile at us. Oh, we add that to it. I mean, come on, man. We're good at it. And God says, stop being like that. Because a servant of God is blind in some of the things he sees. Can I tell you? You got eyes, you see it, but it's okay. You got ears, you heard, but it's okay. Because you have somebody that go within you that says, it's all right. They're just people. They're just folks. They need restoration. You need restoration. Come on, hallelujah. Who is blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness. When you're doing that, when you're not allowing people to affect you, when you're just saying, my life is tied up in Christ, and I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. If he wants me to love that guy, I'm going to love that guy. If he wants me to help that guy, I'm going to help that guy. I'm going to do whatever I can because I'm a servant of God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let them place a yoke on me. So the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. Listen, let's talk about somebody that's robbed and spoiled. How many are spoiled? Anybody in here spoiled? Yeah. I see people pointing at each other. You're spoiled. Robbed and spoiled. How many have determined you? I'm not letting anything rob me of the things of the kingdom from now on. I want everything that God has for me. But he says right here, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers for a spoil, and none says restore. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this to you. God is saying to you, be restored. Release those things that have been troubling you. Release them. Let them go. Take that person like that you've got in a cage, open it up, and let it go and let it fly. Don't let it trouble you anymore, because God is saying you're free and he wants you free indeed. Is that okay? Hallelujah. He says this, who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Folks, I'm going to tell you, God is saying now's the time. We're in the time that he's talking about. We are in the time. We are in the time when we're to be men and women of God, period. Is that right? Wherever you work, whatever you're doing, whatever your occupation, your trade, whatever, he is saying, you're a man of God or a woman of God first, and then you're an occupation guy or whatever. Is that okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says this, I will restore health to you. Amen? Everybody say amen. Amen. How many have got a little thing wrong with you? Your big toe hurts? Anybody got anything wrong? I'm going to put my hand up. I could use something. I'm asking God to restore everyone in the house. That's what I'm asking for. God, you said to say, to restore. I'm saying it. Restore. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be strengthened. He says, I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Who's talking here? It's not Henry. That's the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. And he says, I will heal your wounds. And because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. I'll explain that word a little bit. That, where it says outcast, you know what that is. People think you're a little weird. Isn't that right? People think that this church is a little weird because we have a dove on our, in every place that we, because the Spirit of God, we are asking him to do what he wants to do and not what we want to do. So in a lot of church worlds, we're outcasts. because we are dependent upon God. We are independently dependent on Him to do what He wants to do. Not for the men's glory, but for the glory of the Lord. Amen. That's our intent. Hallelujah. You're outcasts because you don't do it the way everybody else does it. You don't say it the way everybody else says it. You're outcasts. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you what. What men cast out, God picks up. Is that right? He picks up and He brings them in. And He dusts them off. He says, get ready because I've got something great for you. Hallelujah. Last scripture. This is our power verse. Psalm 5 verse 12 says this. Psalm 51 verse 12 says this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. There's two words in here that if you look at it in the King James, you're going to see two words in here. With thy. Those two words right there, with thy, are actually italicized a little bit in the King James. And when you see, if you're reading the Word of God, if you look at and you see some of the words are italicized, that just means that those words were added to make it clearer. That's all it means. That word right there says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me free spirit. It's a call out to God. Just uphold me, Spirit of God. Just uphold me. Hallelujah. I'm going to say to you this morning, if you're holding anything against anybody, be the first one to step out and restore that relationship. Don't wait for them. Here's a word for you. Don't wait for them. Step out first and watch what God does. Even if they don't receive it, even if they come back at you and bite you, amen? Say, I will attempt to restore this relationship. Because God is into relationships. He really is. He loves people. He cares about people. He will not, listen, He will not just blow them off like some of us will. Pay no attention to them anymore. Leave them alone. Don't talk to them. Don't say nothing to them. Just leave them alone. He will not do that. He says, go restore and love on them. Is that okay? Let's pray. Stand up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, God. God, I ask you, Father God, that you would help us, Father. Help us to realize the things that have been placed upon us, maybe even by our own doings, Lord, because we hold on to things that we shouldn't be holding on to. We hold on to words that people have said to us more than the words that you've said to us, Lord. And we don't want that to happen anymore. We're tired of being robbed. We're tired of being things being stolen from us because we have failed to hold on to the right words, God. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, help us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, get restored. Restore somebody. Stay. We're going to take a few.